All right, so Luke 18, 7 through 8. If you could, I'd like to connect a few of the dots from last week. Y'all remember last week?
Yes.
We saw that Christ will return, right? Christ will return, and his return will be suddenly. It'll be unexpectedly. His return is going to be visible, and that we will, and all eyes will see him, and it will be bodily. Christ is coming back with the resurrected body in which he left. You remember that? And his resurrected body is no longer flesh and blood. It's flesh and bone, but it's a transformed flesh and bone. But he is coming back. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, it's he himself, the Lord himself, will descend from heaven, right?
Amen.
And so he's coming back. We also saw that Christ will return in divine glory. He'll return with divine glory, and the saints, the souls of the saints, will be with him, right? So that in Matthew 16:27, John 14:3, Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to take you to myself, right? That where I am, there you may be also. He's coming back in glory, and he's coming back for us. Thank God for that. We also saw that these truths then are to provide us comfort. Now, today I want to remind you of this. That the Christ is coming back to earth. We got a whole lot of space exploration going on now, and people are trying to discover if there's life on other planets and all sorts of things. But here's the issue. The Bible brings attention to one planet. Right?
Amen.
In the beginning, God created all the planets, all the stars, all the celestial beings, but he focuses on what? One. On one. And Jesus didn't return. Jesus didn't come the first time to Pluto or Saturn. And that's not minimizing the value. But God, in the beginning, God tells us about the creation that was going on where? On earth. Earth is where we find the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Right? And so, earth is where Jesus came the first time. And earth is where he's coming again. No other planet. Keep that in mind. There's a lot of speculation going on nowadays. Stay with the Bible.
Amen.
You don't need to go outside the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The secret things what? Belong to the Lord. Deuteronomy 29:29. The things revealed are what belong to us. So if God hadn't told us what's going on with all of the mystery of the universe, that's fine with me. I want to understand this one other than this rock that I live on.
Amen.
I want to know what's going on here. And, right?
Amen.
I mean, there's much of this rock I ain't even seen.
Right. Come on.
Right? And so trying to go somewhere else when I haven't been a faithful steward over this one. And that's unfortunate. That's the reason people are trying to go somewhere else, is because haven't been a faithful steward here. But he's going to return back to this planet.
Amen.
And it's here that we found the Garden of Eden, right? It's on earth that God created Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed life into his soul. It's here that God gave Adam a wife. And Adam and Eve then started to create a humanity. It was where? It was right here.
Right.
So, my brother, my sister, this is what I want to talk about for a few minutes today. Is, you remember how this verse says, what will Christ find on earth? When he returns, will he find faith on earth? And so I want us to talk about that a little bit today. So from these two verses, I want to take a look at life since Christ ascended back in the first century. What has happened? And then I want you and I to think about what Christ is coming back to. What does it look like now? In some ways, you might think that this is a history lesson. And it is. Because God wants us to learn from history. He wants us to learn from the things that have... See, you remember he told Israel, don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget your past, because we are so prone to forget. And what did they do? They forgot. Just like you and I, what? Forget.
Amen.
It was a sad day when my dad died that I finally began to put together so many things that he's done for me. It's tragic to remember when it's late. Sometimes too late. We need to exercise our memory. See, that's the reason the Bible wants us to give thanks. I can't give thanks if I don't remember, if I don't take some time to remember. And so you and I then are going to take a little bit of a history lesson so that we can be thankful for what God has done for us. All right? We good? So, first of all, we're going to look at life since Christ ascended. You all know what I mean by that, right? After the resurrection, Christ was resurrected into his new body. He stayed here on earth for a while to interact with believers and to secure their, establish their faith before he what, ascended into heaven. And so, y'all remember, I don't want to make any assumptions yet. Could you turn to Acts 1? Y'all remember there, right? As Christ was about to ascend, you find these words there in Acts 1, verse 10. And while they, this is the disciples, while they were gazing into heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Amen. And so that's the what? Ascension. And what we're going to talk about today is what has happened on this rock, on this earth, since Jesus left. And I purposely am going to bring, if you've not thought about history before, this is not a history class, but God wants us to remember. Mm-hmm. All right? So let's think about a few things. When Jesus left, Rome was the dominant ruling power in the world. So first of all, we're going to look at the world. What has happened since Jesus ascended in the world? When Jesus left, Rome was the dominant power ruling, right, in the world. And there have been other dominant powers since then, but Rome basically imploded. No power, no country conquered them. They just destroyed. They destroyed themselves from within, just like the United States is doing. And so then other powers rose up, and ultimately we find in more modern history, France became powerful, then Russia, and then the United Kingdom, Japan, China, and the United States. And you all hear about these summits, right, on the television, where the G6 or the G20, these powerful nations in the world get together. Well, that's what I want you to think about. That's what's happening, what? In the world. The world is ruled by world power. And in most cases, it's bombs and military and money. Mm-hmm. That's the way the world gauges what? Power. Mm-hmm. Right. Now stay with me. And so when you look at how the Bible describes what has been going on, Proverbs 14:34 says, Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Okay? So God then wants us to know that it's righteousness is what holds a nation up. And for any nation to think that you can just go your own way and we're just going to get away, God wants us to know, don't be deceived. God is what? Not mocked. Whatever a man, a woman, a group, a municipality, a country, a nation, whatever they reap, so shall they reap. Right? Ecclesiastes 3, y'all know that, right? There's a time and a season, what? For everything. But then that verse 8, Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time to what? Love. A time to hate. Time for war and what? Time for peace. God works these seasons. And, and it happened. Rome and all these other, and I didn't even, these are nations after Jesus. You know, there was all kind of activity going on before Jesus came. I'm just talking about what has happened since he ascended, right? Let's turn to, can you find Matthew 24? Because these are the kinds of things that Jesus is talking about when he, y'all know he's studying eschatology. These are the kinds of things that he's wanting us to be mindful of. Matthew 24, 6 and 7. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And this is what has happened, right? Down through the centuries. One nation has conquered another one. And we see how a famine has affected a country's stability, right? Or earthquakes and volcanoes and all these natural, people would call them natural disasters. But God is wanting us to take a very biblical look at what has happened. This world has moved along in a way that people think is just, folks, you have to use the word luck. There's no luck happening here. There's no happenstance. As a matter of fact, that's the reason. You see that verse I got there? Turn to Psalm 22. This is a wonderful verse. And I hope it encourages you when you look around the world and see all the chaos and just find yourself discouraged. Don't be discouraged. God is still in control.
Yes, He is.
Psalm 22 and verse 28. You see that? For kingship belongs to the Lord, and what? He rules over the nations. How many?
All of them.
Amen. All of them. Iran, Iraq, all of the rogue, people think that you got all these rogue nations. There's no rogue.
Amen.
Everybody is under God's control.
Amen.
And every nation has a purpose. Mm-hmm. Just as God said, He raised up Judas for what? That purpose, every nation has a purpose. My brother, my sister, don't be in despair.
Amen.
God's working out a plan here.
Amen.
Don't get anxious for Him to finish it. Because when He finishes it, you're going to rejoice with all the other things. Okay? And so, this is what's been happening in the world. That when you notice that modern society has basically embraced sin. Now, what do I mean by that? Modern society has basically redefined the family. Modern society has basically tried to destroy the gender distinctions. And I'm not just talking about the United States. This is what's happening in the world, right? Because there's a spirit of the world that's designed to destroy anything that God created. It doesn't like the fact that in the beginning God created man and woman, and God defined marriage. The world system, just as Satan attempted to do in the Garden of Eden, is determined to try to tear it down.
Amen.
And that's what modern society is doing, right? Modern society has accepted and legalized murder.
Amen.
Abortion is rarely even talked about anymore.
Amen.
Right? I thought I had some statistics. Maybe I did. We've legalized drugs and gambling. We got this whole debate going on with medical marijuana. And there's a element in marijuana that's not, that you can't regulate. And it affects the brain. Now, unlike going to a pharmacy and they measure, you know, when you get a prescription drug, they measure it out to where you don't get too much of whatever the element is. That's not true with marijuana. You go get I don't know what the amount is that's medical, but it's free to work on your brain, and there's nobody measuring out how much affects what. And once you let that horse out of the barn, he ain't coming back. You think once most of our culture gets high, you gonna get a social thing? Now see, what people are not thinking about ramifications.
That's correct.
People never stop with a little bit. I thought I could stop with a little bit. You probably did too. I don't know where you know what your track record is, but it's like an old Lay's potato chip commercial, right? What? Can't eat just one. You won't stop with just one bag. We. That may be legal, but I want what? More. Eye is not satisfied with seeing. The ear not satisfied with hearing. This is our culture.
Amen.
We want more. We want more. We want more promiscuity. We've accepted idolatry, and then many people, when you think about idolatry, you say, well, I don't have any idols in my house. Oh, America is one of the most idolatrous nations there is.
Amen.
Materialism is idolatry.
Yes.
The love what? Of money what? Is the root of all kinds of evil. And if you don't know that America is in love with money, you just out of your house. Yes?
Yeah.
Idolatry is accepted and encouraged and taught in schools and taught in colleges. We just don't call it that. There's unrest and rioting and coups and lawlessness. I did do some stats. Since Jesus ascended, there have been almost 1,300 wars in the world. Think of that. Since the first century. 1,300 wars. They just lose track with murder. So I just found a statistic in 2010. 520,000 murders in 2010.
Yes, sir.
Don't like you. I got a problem with you. We don't need to talk. I know what to do with people I don't like. You see the problem? Lawlessness is... Is the rule of the day. And of course, with same-sex marriages, North America and South America is basically bought in. Obviously, there are a few states that have not, but the dominant ones have accepted. 60% of statistics in America of people accepted. Even though it may not be legal.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I did get abortion. 1.3 billion abortions since 1980. 1.3 billion babies have been killed legally.
Yeah.
Well, whether it was legal or not, that's the number of abortions since 1980. And of course, then, you know, you can go on with this. Think of terrorism. Terrorism this mentality that thinks that when you commit a terrorist act, you go to heaven, that you please God. You can see the awful deterioration that comes when the world system begins to affect people. And we don't see it often, but there's genocide going on around the world. Entire villages and tribes are being wiped out. In some countries, they wipe out entire Christian groups. They don't necessarily call them a city, but they go into a defined area in the country and kill everybody there that's a Christian. Alright? Now, I'm not saying this to depress you. I'm just wanting you to see. You can't close your... This is where we are in this world. This is what it's come to. Okay? Now, how does the Bible describe it? In Matthew 24:12, Jesus says that lawlessness, what? Will increase.
Amen.
Now, if you think that God didn't know this was coming about,
amen.
You see that Romans 1 text? Turn there. Many of you are familiar with it, but I want to read it because I want the Word of God to speak to all of us. You got Romans 1? Look at verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Verse 24. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26. For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those who are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. Verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give hearty approval to those who practice them. That's what we have happening right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Focus groups and... what do you call them? Groups that are pushing these agendas. Mm-hmm. Groups with these agendas are pushing them all over the world. Don't think that God didn't warn us about this, right? In the first century, Paul wrote to this young pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. You see that? I know this is... what should I call it? This doesn't make the heart glad. But this is reality. And this is what you and I need to know, that God has already warned us and prepared us for such a time as this. 2 Timothy 3:1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does this sound the same as what we just read in Romans? So I want you to see, God has not left us to be surprised by this.
Correct.
He's saying, this is the way of the world, therefore he says to you and me, don't love the world, what? Or the things of the world, because it's what? There's no way this is going to survive.
Amen.
It's self-destruction written all over it.
Amen.
I don't care how politically correct it is. Yeah. It will not survive.
Amen.
Amen.
And don't be pressured.
Amen.
Because somebody else is politically correct, and they don't want you to tell them. We are what? Light and salt.
That's right.
Amen.
Jesus said, they hated me, and if they know who you are, what?
Amen.
They will hate you.
Say it.
Stop
Amen.
Trying to befriend the world.
Say it.
Amen.
Say it.
Well.
There's no way you can be a friend of that. And we've got to stop trying to fly under the radar.
That's right. Amen.
This thing here is going to the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to hide underneath. Where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to hide under this sinking ship, you can't do it. Eventually, you're going to have to sit it up.
Amen.
Because they're going one way, and you know, the Bible says that they're on a broad road with a, with a wide door,
mm-hmm.
and that leads to what?
Destruction.
Mm-hmm. You're on a narrow road with a small door.
Mm-hmm.
Even on that road. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to act like you're on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you expected that. I remember Tony Evans, when he came here years ago, he was preaching on Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said that people were so shocked by what went on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, why?
Mm-hmm.
Sinners do what sinners do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would you expect sinners to do but what?
Sin.
The problem wasn't the sinners in Sodom and Gomorrah. The problem was the saints.
Yeah, amen.
Lot wasn't doing his part. Lot was trying to fly under the radar and make sure that he was popular in Sodom and make money and get in positions of power, you see? And so I want to say to you, same is happening right now, because the next question for you and me, that's what's happening in the world. But what has happened in the church?
Mm-hmm.
As Jesus said.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's easy to look at the world.
Okay.
And say, oh my. So let's talk about what's happened in the body. Right? The body of Christ. That was left here. You ready? The growth was prophesied there in Acts 1:8. Remember what Jesus said? But you will receive power, right? When the Spirit has come upon you, and you will be what? My witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to what? The remotest parts of the earth, of the world. Okay, so that's happened. That prophetic word from Jesus happened. They started in Jerusalem, and you remember how they were just enjoying. It was wonderful, that wonderful fellowship, moving from house to house, breaking bread, and you know, submitting to the apostles' doctrine. But then they just wanted to stay there. And God's point was, I didn't save you for you just to circle the wagons and stay in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, what? Persecution. And they what? Scattered. Just like he said they would. To what? Judea, Samaria, and of course then Paul started on his missionary journeys. And y'all remember that? He tried to go into Asia, and God, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me. Saw a man over in Europe, over in Macedonia, said, come here, come over here. And so that's how we got the gospel into Europe, and then Africa, and Asia, and North America. So the gospel spread it, just like God said it would.
Yeah.
Amen.
But it didn't stop there, unfortunately. Story doesn't just end there with this, quote, happy ending. Let's look at the history of the church. The church started out Catholic. Now, let me straighten it out. I when I said that word, it'd probably be confusing. I didn't say the church started out Roman Catholic. Catholic means what? Universal. There was one church. Started in Jerusalem, and it began to spread. And when there was problems, they resorted back to the council in Jerusalem, where the council, where the elders were there to make decisions, right? And so that was wonderful to see this Catholic Church. And then after a few hundred years, Rome was still ruling. I mean, Constantine was converted, and then Constantine made Rome a Christian nation. That's when problems began to develop, when you start adding traditions. Later on, God gets a hold of a young man's heart named Martin Luther. And he realizes that there's something wrong with this way of salvation in the Roman Catholic Church. And God begins to open his eyes with the book of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And he begins to see that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone and Christ alone.
Yeah.
And that brother rose up as a light standing for Christ and said, I will not recant it. Kill me if you may, I will not recant. Mm-hmm. Of course, then out of that we see people begin to follow these reformers. Of course, you know, from Martin Luther, we get the Lutheran denomination, and then the Presbyterians following John Calvin, and then the Methodists following the Wesley Brothers and Baptists. And it's amazing that, I believe that statistic is a current one, 34,000 denominations in the world today. Started with one church, we have evolved into 34,000. And 1,200 of them are here in the United States. You get this? Now, I will grant it, some of these breakoffs were legitimate. Can you find Jude 3? Because I believe the spirit that you see here in Jude 3 is what led people like Martin Luther and others to break away from the establishment. In Jude 3, Jude says, Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. That is worth contending for. And if that means you have another denomination, then so be it. I'm not being critical of those who've broken away from the establishment because the establishment has gone wrong.
Amen.
But there is something with somebody, you can't get your own way, and so if you can't get your own way, you go start a denomination. That kind of spirit is what I'm talking about, is not what should be ruling and reigning in the Church of Christ. Okay? But that's where we are. Just as we looked at the situation in the world, we're looking at the situation as it developed in the church. And then we find that error starts creeping in. Right? Error creeps in because you have a little deception here. Someone who says something just a little bit wrong. And then you have just false teaching that comes in and starts telling people things that are not biblical. And then you have outright heresy that is just absolutely, totally anti-God. Mm-hmm. And people in the physical, if you will, body believing it.
Yeah.
Have people like Jim Jones and others that can lead people away with a Bible. And tell every one of them to kill yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, sir.
In the name of God. Not Allah, or you see, and so this things, these errors have crept in, and you see that a part of the problem is that when you've got false teaching like this, it stirs up greed in people. When you tell somebody, you don't have to live in that kind of house. You don't have to drive that kind of car.
Uh-huh.
You can have this, and you can have, you see, that stirs up, that ministers to what? Not the spirit, but what? The flesh.
Amen.
Appealing to the lust, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and what? Pride and possession. John says, do not love the world. Of the things of the world, and that's exactly what people are ministering to. The world and the things of the world. A bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger TV, a this and a that. That's the things of the world.
Amen.
And people love it.
Yes.
So you got greed and strife, the arrogance that has built up. You remember James says, Christians fighting with each other and quarreling. Choir members fighting with each other because I want to sing, and because this didn't happen to me, and all just when you've got wrong teaching. Mm-hmm. It's going to lead to wrong living.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. For as a man what?
Thinks,
so he is. Amen. If you're being taught wrong, you are going to what? Live wrong.
Amen.
That's what has happened in the church. And so you're a Jew, fighting and immorality and worldliness. Listen to Jude. Jude 4, for certain people have crept in unnoticed.
Yeah.
Who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And the book of Revelation talks about that kind of spirit that can come into a church and have all sorts of immorality. It's awful to think that the church has become this bed, this place, this breeding ground for this kind of awful lifestyle. And that's the reason Jesus says, you need to repent. I'm going to come and put your light out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
God forbid anything like that would ever happen to us. But if that's the reason Jesus warns. Right? Be alert.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
Don't think that that can happen to them and only them.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had to warn his own disciples when they saw that the Tower of Siloam, they were going around talking. Well, they must have been so bad. Jesus said, No. They're no worse sinners than you are.
Mm-hmm.
So don't start getting arrogant at someone else's misfortune. Right? You got 2 Peter 2. Look at that. Verse 1, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. Look at verse 3. And in their greed they will extort with false words their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not assumed. God has warned. Let me just show you a couple of more warnings and then I'll leave this alone. Can you find 1 Timothy 4? Look at the first two verses. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. And then finally, can you find that 2 Timothy text there? 2 Timothy 4, 2 verses, 3 and 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. It's happening everywhere in the church. You can find whatever flavor you want.
Yeah.
Of teaching today.
Yeah.
Out of these 34,000 denominations, somebody has got a flavor that you like.
Right.
You see what he's saying here? And we'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And all we can say is amen.
Amen.
Amen. And God help us.
Yeah.
Don't get arrogant. God help us.
Amen.
Not go that way.
Amen.
Life in the world and the church has changed radically since Jesus left. Has changed radically. And I want you to see that, because the last thing I want us to consider is what is he coming back to? That's what we've been talking about. Jesus is going to return. Now, I know that was a bit lengthy, but I wanted you to see that this has developed predictably and systematically and methodically in the world and the church. And man has proved we cannot fix it. It doesn't matter what world leaders come on the stage. They can't fix this problem in the world. It doesn't matter what church leaders come on the stage. The church leaders cannot fix this problem in the church. Jesus has to come back.
Amen.
And so the question is, what is he coming back to? Now, when you look at the world, there should be no surprise, right?
Mm-hmm.
There should be no surprise. When Jesus, find Matthew 24. Now, the world is going to be surprised, but you and I should not be surprised at what Jesus will come back to in the world. Matthew 24, 37 through 39. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. It's going to be the same thing. People are going to go on living their ways. Same-sex marriage is going to keep going. There's all these gender indistinctions and transgender and this. Y'all, dear. Ooh, this is awful stuff happening.
Yeah.
Bestiality?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what
that
is? It's awful happening all around the globe. Just perversions of mind. That's the world. And those are the things of the world. You can't befriend it because it's going to a place you're not going. You can't hold the world's hand. Alright? As a matter of fact, God says, I want you to try to bring someone out of that darkness.
Yes.
And you can't do it if you're hanging buddies, you're running buddies with them.
Well,
right.
Amen. Now, don't misunderstand. He did not say you can't go in and get them.
Mm-hmm.
But see, going in and get them is different than going in and hanging.
Amen.
All right.
I want to taste myself. So what you got to tell me? You like it just like I do. So you understand that? He says, the Bible uses words like snatch. You need to snatch them out of that fire. Right? And so sinners will be unprepared and surprised, and the unconverted will continue in their sin. In 2 Peter, Peter talks about how they go on mocking. They're mocking that things haven't changed since Jesus left here. There are people that say that today. And you know, I don't pick on Bill Mayer, but I mean that he's one of the chief ring leaders. Just awful blasphemers against God and the things of God. But just like we told the children, don't get anxious for that justice. I remember the day I heard Barney Mack say some of the most vulgar things to God. And he dared God to strike him dead right there on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And God let him live for a few more years.
Amen.
You know what?
Yeah.
He met him.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust you that it was worse than he ever thought.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I promise you. Mm-hmm. And so just like with the children, don't get anxious for God's justice. Because when his justice comes, it's right. Bernie Mac had every opportunity to repent. And I'm not just picking on individuals, you understand. You and I just have to be careful that we're not getting zealous about God's justice.
Amen.
When he does it, it's right.
Amen.
Right? And so the world, when Christ returns, the world will be continuing on in its godlessness, and because the world loves darkness, right? The world loves sin, and Jesus said that because they loved it, then they would not come to the light. But the question is, then what's life going to be like when Christ returns in the church or among the saints? This is where we get to our text today. I know I've been long. I'll try to wrap this up. But when I was looking at text with the return of Christ, I ran across these two verses and I thought, man, this is phenomenal. Christ has just said that he's going to be delayed in his return.
Mm-hmm.
So he was telling his people that I'm not going to be coming as soon as you think. And so the question for you and me, it's been 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
What counsel would Jesus have to give to you and me? When you look around the world, when you look at Ferguson and places all around the world, this is one snapshot. You see, when you go over to Africa and places where it wasn't just one man killed, it was whole villages killed unjustified in the name of law. Or other oppressive countries like China and around the globe, okay? The question is, then, what counsel would Jesus give you and me? He's been, Lord, how long is it going to be, right? How long do we have to endure and put up with this? So, Lord, what would you have us to do? Do you want to know what Jesus would have to say? You got your Bible open? Can you find Luke 18, verse 1. You got it? Now, he just said, I'm going to be a long time coming. What's the very first thing that he teaches them when he says, I'm not coming for a long time? You're going to be hurting what? And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray. Getting this? I know that it's disheartening. I know you can't be indifferent when you look around the world and see how much wrong is going on. But God says, don't lose heart. Keep on what? Praying. Keep on praying. Because you won't make it through, Christian, if you don't pray. Right? Prayer is essential for perseverance during times of prolonged injustice and trouble. As difficult as things are, don't stop praying. Don't stop meeting with God. God most assuredly hears the prayers of the saints of the poor who want justice, who want righteousness on the earth. You see verse 7? That's his point. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? My brother, my sister, don't stop crying because you don't see anything happening. Don't stop crying. You know what, when he says crying, praying to God. Don't stop praying to God just because your things seem to be going on the same as they were yesterday and the day before. God says, I hear you. I hear you. He most assuredly hears the saints. Can you turn to Revelation 6? I was just going to say this, but I think it would be good for you to see this. Revelation 6 and verses 10 and 11. This is a snapshot of the future. I'll read verse 9 to 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice. Look at this. O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Look at Jesus' answer. Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How long? Just rest. Because when I'm done, you know what the Bible says? Just as in the days of Noah, people didn't think anything was going to happen. I don't know why these folks keep on building this boat. Just because God said it's going to rain. It ain't never rained. We ain't never seen rain. You building this, you are the most foolish man I ever seen. Building a boat like this, ain't no rain nowhere. Ain't no water nowhere. But when God closed the door, it's too late. You see? You think of it. Noah, 120 years preaching and warning people and no rain. So my brother, my sister, trust God when he says pray on, pray on. At his return, Christ will set all things right. Can you go back to Luke 18? At his return, Christ will set all things right. Look at verse 7, the second sentence. Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. God is going to set everything right. And so he says to you and me, don't avenge yourself. God says what? In Romans 12, leave room for the wrath of God. For God says what? Vengeance is mine. I what? Will repay. He promises. My brother, my sister, I know it's been a long time. I know you've been waiting. But God says, I'm coming and I'll take up the case. Even though justice and righteousness may take longer than you want, keep praying. He says that even though it looks like I've delayed a long time, trust me, I got a plan. Keep on praying. True believers must and will persevere. Because then the next question is, so what am I to do? True believers must and will persevere in prayer, ministry, and obedience to Christ until he comes. Don't give way. How does Paul encourage us? Be what? Steadfast. What? Immovable. Always abounding in the work of who? Of the Lord. The labor of Christ. Because your labor in him is not in vain. You've been very patient, and I thank you. Because ultimately, for you and I, the issue is, do you really want to hear Jesus say, well done?
Yeah.
I know we like to say that. Good and what?
Faithful
servant. You've been what? Faithful over. You didn't try to fix everything, but you were faithful over what? The few things that I put in front of you. And those few things are people's lives. How many lives are you faithful with? How many circumstances in people's lives are you? Do you just want a quick fix and let them go? Are you willing to be faithful until the end? As long as it takes. You've been faithful over a few things. With prayer, the saint will persevere until the end. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, remember that we are encouraged to wait for the return of Christ in hope. We must not grow impatient or weary while we wait for all things to be made right. All things will be made new. Since Christ has delayed his return and is taking much longer than we desire, we know that he has a plan. If he didn't have a plan, he wouldn't be taking this long. If God's plan was done, he'd be here right now. But because he's not, God has a plan and a purpose that you and I cannot see. And that you and I may not even understand. And that's the reason he says, trust me with what? All your heart, and do not lean to your understanding of the situation. We know that God is causing all things to work together for good to those who love him. Misery, pain, injustice, heartache, family problems, employment problems, government problems. God is causing what? All things to work together for good to those that love him. We know that God does all things well. His timing is perfect. His will and his way are perfect. Therefore, we must pray consistent with Christ. Lord, not my will. What? Yours be done. We can persevere in prayer, and we must persevere in prayer. We can and we must persevere in ministry. We can and we must persevere in faithfulness. We can and we must persevere in obedience to Christ until he comes again, regardless of how long it takes. And remember, we're going to keep our eyes on Christ as we study eschatology, because his coming is the next great event of all history. If you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you again. Come to Christ now. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't think that you can get it together later. Don't even think that getting it together is going to make you right with Christ. Christ wants you to come to Him as you are now. Yes. Believe Him now. Trust Him now. He'll save you just as you are.
Yes.
Trust Him. In Jesus' name. Lord, help today. I thank You for these few minutes that we had together. Thank You for helping us as believers to persevere in these troubling times. I pray that You would encourage and motivate us all the more to be persistent in prayer, to be faithful in ministry, to be obedient to You in every area. Help us, Lord, to be filled with the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit. Help us to know what few things You've assigned our hands to do, and then, Lord, enable us to do them very well. Help us to not love the world or try to befriend the world. Help us to be good ambassadors for Christ in these dark days. We love You because You first loved us. Now, would You bring someone to Yourself in saving grace and the power of that wonderful love from heaven? Do it for Your own glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.